Okay, my friends. So today I am going to say, first of all, a very Merry Christmas to you. And I do have a Christmas story for you that is a very special story. My good friend Alexis said, you've got to check this story out. And she was right. I read the book and I said, we've got to share this with our friends. And then we could even do a little craft afterwards and do a little carving of our own and maybe give presents to someone. You'll see what I'm talking about. Today's story is called The Christmas Miracle of Jonathan Toomey. And if you like today's story, my friends, there's a film version of this on Amazon Prime for like $5. So you can check it out. So this story was written by Susan Wojcicki. It is illustrated by PJ Lynch. Today's story is read by Mommy and Philip, the boy who likes Christmas. Here we go. The village children called him Mr. Gloomy. But in fact, his name was Toomey, Mr. Jonathan Toomey. And though it's not kind to call people names, this one fitted quite well. For Jonathan Toomey seldom smiled and never laughed. He went about mumbling and grumbling, muttering and sputtering, grumping and griping. He complained that the church bells rang too often, that the birds sang too shrilly, and that the children played too loudly. Mr. Toomey was a woodcarver. Some said he was the best woodcarver in the whole valley. He spent his days sitting at a workbench, carving beautiful shapes from blocks of pine and hickory and chestnut wood. And after supper, he sat in a straight-backed chair near the fireplace, smoking his pipe and staring into the flames. Now, a long, long time ago, people used to smoke pipes of tobacco. Yeah, and we shouldn't do that these days because it's not good for you. Jonathan Toomey wasn't an old man, but if you saw him, you might think he was. The way he walked bent forwards with his head down, you wouldn't notice his eyes, a clear blue of an August sky. And you wouldn't see the dimple on his chin, since his face was mostly hidden under a shaggy, untrimmed beard, speckled with sawdust and wood shavings and, depending on what he'd eaten that day, crumbs of bread or a pit of potato or dried gravy. Ooh, I don't think he washes his face very often. What do you think? The village people didn't know it, but there was a reason for his gloom, a reason for his grumbling, a reason why he walked hunched over as if carrying a great weight on his shoulders. Some years earlier, when Jonathan Toomey was young and full of life and full of love, his wife and baby had become very ill. And because those were days before hospitals and medicines and skilled doctors, his wife and baby had died 3 days apart from each other. So Jonathan Toomey had packed his belongings into a wagon and traveled till his tears stopped. He settled in a tiny house at the edge of a village to do his wood carving. One day, in early December, there was a knock at Jonathan's door. Mumbling and grumbling, he went to answer it, and there stood a woman and a young boy. I'm the widow McDowell. I'm new to your village. This is my son, Thomas, the woman said.
I'm 7, and I know how to whistle, said Thomas.
Whistling's a pish-posh,
said the wood carver gruffly. Do you know what it means to be a widow?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
Have no husband.
Yeah, her husband has died. Yeah. And so now, because she does not have a husband anymore, she has to raise this little boy by herself. Wouldn't it be interesting if Mr. Toomey, who doesn't have a wife or a son, could help them? They could become their own family, couldn't they?
Yeah.
We're thinking about.
I need something carved, said the woman, and she told Jonathan about a very special set of Christmas figures her grandfather had carved for her when she was a girl. After I moved here, I discovered they were lost, she explained. I hoped by some miracle I would find them again, but it hasn't happened.
There are no such thing as miracles, the woodcarver told her. Now, can you describe these figures for me?
There were sheep, she told him.
Two of them with curly wood,
added Thomas.
Yes, two, said the widow, and a cow and an angel and Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus and three wise men.
Three of them,
added Thomas.
Will you take the job? Asked Widow McDowell.
I will.
I'm grateful. How soon can you have them ready?
They'll be ready when they're ready, he said.
But
he's pushy.
He is. He's grumpy. But I must have them by Christmas. They mean very much to me.
Let me guess. The next thing he says, Christmas Smishmas. I ain't care about anything called Christmas.
You think? Well, hold on. She says, I can't remember a Christmas without them.
And he says, Christmas is pish posh.
I knew it,
said Jonathan gruffly, and he shut the door. The following week, there was a knock at the woodcarver's door. Muttering and sputtering, he went to answer it, and there stood the Widow McDowell and Thomas.
Excuse me, said the widow, but Thomas has been begging to come and watch you work. He says he wants to be a woodcarver when he grows up and would like to watch you since you are the best in the valley.
I'll be quiet. You won't even know I'm here. Please, please,
piped in Thomas. With a grumble, the woodcarver stepped aside to let them in. He pointed to a stool near his workbench.
No talking, no jiggling, no noise, he ordered Thomas.
The Widow McDowell handed Mr. Toomey a warm loaf of cornbread as a token of thanks. Then she took out her knitting and sat down in a rocking chair near the far corner of the cottage.
Not there,
bellowed the woodcarver.
No one sits in that chair.
So she moved to the straight-backed chair by the fire. Thomas sat very still. Once, when he needed to sneeze, he pressed a finger under his nose to hold it back. Once, when he wanted desperately to scratch his leg, he counted to 20 to keep his mind off the itch. After a very long time, Thomas cleared his throat and whispered,
Mr. Toomey, may I ask a question?
The woodcarver glared at Thomas and then shrugged his shoulders and grunted. Thomas decided that meant yes, and so he went on.
Is that my sheep you're carving?
The woodcarver nodded and grunted again. After a very long time, Thomas whispered,
Mr. Toomey, excuse me, but you're carving my sheep wrong.
The Widow McDowell's knitting needles stopped clicking. Jonathan Toomey's knife stopped carving. Thomas went on.
It's a beautiful sheep, nice and curly, but my sheep looked happy.
That's pish posh, said Mr. Toomey. Sheep are sheep. They cannot look happy.
I did, answered Thomas. They knew they were with the baby Jesus, so they were happy.
After that, Thomas was quiet for the rest of the afternoon.
When the church bells chimed 6 o'clock, Mr. Toomey grumbled under his breath at the awful noise. The widow McDowell said it was time to leave. Thomas sneezed 3 times, then thanked the woodcarver for allowing him to watch. That evening...
The word pish-posh is pish-posh.
It is pish-posh. Well, he's kind of a pish-posh guy, I think. That evening, after a supper of cornbread and boiled potatoes, the woodcarver sat down at his bench. He picked up his knife. He picked up the sheep. He worked until his eyelids drooped shut. A few days later, there was a knock at the woodcarver's door. Griping and grumbling, he went to answer it, and there stood the widow and her son.
"May I watch again? I will be quiet," said Thomas.
He settled himself on the stool very quietly while his mother laid a basket of sweet-smelling raisin buns on the table.
"The teapot's warm,"
Mr. Toomey said gruffly, his head bent over his work. While Mr. Toomey carved, the widow McDowell poured tea. She touched the woodcarver gently on the shoulder and placed a cup of tea and a bun next to him. He pretended not to notice, but soon both the plate and the cup were empty. Thomas tried to eat the bun his mother had given him as quietly as he could, but it was almost impossible to be 7 and eat a warm, sticky raisin bun without making various smacking, licking, and satisfied noises. Precisely. When Thomas had finished, he tried to sit quietly. Once, he almost hiccuped, but he took a deep breath and held it until his face turned red. And once, without thinking, he began to swing his legs, but a glare from the woodcarver stopped him, and he kept them so still they fell asleep. After a very long time, Thomas whispered,
"Mr. Toomey, excuse me. May I ask a question?"
"Grunt."
"Is that my cow you're carving?"
"Nod and grunt." Thomas cleared his throat. Another very long time went by. Then Thomas cleared his throat and said,
Mr. Toomey, excuse me, but I must tell you something. That is a beautiful cow. Most beautiful cow I've ever seen, but it's not right. My cow looked proud."
"That's pish-posh," growled the woodcarver. "Cows are cows. They cannot look proud."
My cow did. It knew that Jesus chose to be born in its barn, so it was proud."
Thomas was quiet for the rest of the afternoon. The only sounds that could be heard were the scraping of a carving knife and the humming of the widow McDowell and the click, click of her knitting needles. When the church bells chimed 6 o'clock, Mr. Toomey muttered under his breath about the noise. The widow McDowell said it was time to leave, and Thomas shook first one leg and then the other, and he thanked the woodcarver for allowing him to watch. That evening, after a supper of boiled potatoes and raisin buns, the woodcarver sat down at his bench. He picked up his carving knife, he picked up the cows, and he worked until his eyelids drooped shut. A few days later, there was a knock at the woodcarver's door. He smoothed down his hair as he went to answer it. At the door were the widow and her son.
"May I watch again?"
asked Thomas, as Mrs. McDowell warmed the tea and put a plate of fresh molasses biscuits on the workbench. Thomas watched the woodcarver work on the figure of an angel. After a very long time, Thomas spoke. "What do you think he is going to say?"
"Is that me, angel, you're carving?"
"Uh-huh."
"Do a bunch of stuff, and then a few minutes later."
"Yeah."
"Like a long time later, he says, you're carving it wrong."
"You think he's going to do that? All right, well, let's see."
"The angel is supposed to be blah, 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 blah."
It's something? Okay, well, let's see. After a very long time, Thomas spoke.
Mr. Toomey, excuse me, is that my angel you're carving?
Yes. And would you do me the favor of telling me exactly what I'm doing wrong?
Well, my angel looked like one of God's most important angels because it was sent to baby Jesus.
And how does one make an angel look important?
Asked the woodcarver.
You'll be able to do it, said Thomas. You're the best woodcarver in the valley.
After another very long time, Thomas spoke.
Mr. Toomey, excuse me, may I ask you a question?
Do you ever stop talking?
Asked the woodcarver.
My mother says I don't. She says I could learn about the virtue of silence from you.
Under his beard, the woodcarver's face turned pink. The widow McDowell's face turned as red as the scarf she was knitting.
Well, speak up. What's your question?
Will you please teach me to carve?
I'm a very busy man,
grumbled the woodcarver. But he put down the important angel.
You'll carve a bird.
A robin, I hope, said Thomas. I like robins.
With a piece of charcoal, the woodcarver sketched a robin on a piece of brown paper. He handed Thomas a small block of pine and a knife, and he showed him how to lop the corners off of the block and slowly smooth the edges of the wood into curves. Thomas copied the woodcarver's strokes, head bent, tongue working from side to side on his lower lip as he concentrated. And when the church bells chimed 6 o'clock, Jonathan Toomey was holding Thomas's hand in his, guiding the knife along the edge of the wing. He didn't hear them ringing. The widow McDowell said it was time to leave. Thomas brushed wood shavings from his shirt. Then he reached out and brushed 2 especially large pieces of wood shaving from Jonathan Toomey's beard. He thanked the woodcarver for teaching him how to carve. Later, after a supper of boiled potatoes and molasses biscuits, Jonathan Toomey went to his workbench. He thought for a long time. He sketched drawing after drawing, and finally, he picked up his carving knife. He picked up the angel, and he carved until his eyelids drooped shut. A few days later, there was a knock at the woodcarver's door. Mr. Toomey jumped up to answer it. There stood the widow McDowell with a bouquet of pine branches and holly sprigs dotted with berries. And there stood Thomas clutching his partly carved robin. While Thomas and Mr. Toomey carved, Mrs. McDowell put the branches in a jar of water. She scrubbed Mr. Toomey's kitchen table and set the jar in the center on a pretty cloth embroidered with lilies of the valley and daisies, which she found in a drawer next to the cupboard.
Next I will carve the wise men and Joseph, the woodcarver said to Thomas. Perhaps before I begin, you will tell me about the mistakes I'm going to make.
Well, said Thomas, my wise men were wearing their most wonderful robes because they were going to visit Jesus. And my Joseph was leaning over baby Jesus like he was protecting him, and he looked very serious.
It wasn't until the church bells had chimed and the widow and her son were preparing to go that Mr. Toomey saw the jar of pine branches and the scrubbed table and the cloth embroidered with lilies of the valleys and daisies. I found the cloth in a drawer. I thought it would look pretty on the table, the widow McDowell said, smiling.
Never open that drawer,
the woodcarver said harshly. When the two left, Jonathan put the cloth away. That evening, after a supper of boiled potatoes, the woodcarver worked on Joseph and the wise men until his eyelids drooped shut. A few days later, there was a knock
on the woodcarver's door. He dusted the crumbs from his beard and brushed the sawdust from his shirt, and at the door were the Widow McDowell and Thomas. All afternoon, Thomas watched the woodcarver work. When it was time to leave, Jonathan said to Thomas,
"I'm about to begin the last two figures. Mary and the baby, can you tell me how your figures looked?"
"They were the most special of all," said Thomas. "Jesus was smiling and reaching up to his mother, and Mary looked like she loved him very much."
"Thank you, Thomas,"
said the woodcarver. "Tomorrow's Christmas. Is there any chance the figures will be ready?" the Widow McDowell asked.
"They will be ready when they're ready."
"I understand," said the widow, and she handed Jonathan two parcels. "Merry Christmas," she said. Jonathan folded his arms across his chest.
"I want no presents,"
he said harshly. "That is exactly why we are giving them," answered the widow, and she put them down on the table and left. Jonathan sat down at the table slowly. He opened to the first parcel. Inside was a red scarf, hand-knitted, warm and bright. He tied the scarf around his neck. The other parcel held a robin, crudely carved of pine. A smile twitched at the corners of Jonathan's mouth as he ran his fingers over the lopsided wings. He dusted the mantelpiece with his sleeve and placed Robin exactly in the center so he could look at it from his chair.
In the center of what?
Of his mantelpiece. The mantel is what goes over your fireplace. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. So your fireplace, if you have a fireplace, will usually have something like wood or marble or some kind of material that goes around it.
A stocking?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes people will hang their stockings on the fireplace. That means the mantle.
Another word for stocking is stock.
Another. Yes, exactly. The woodcarver did not eat supper that day. Instead, he began to sketch the final figures, Mary and Jesus. He drew Mary, then he crumpled the sketch into a ball and tossed it on the floor. He drew the baby, crumpled the sketch into a ball and tossed it with the first. He sketched again. Once more, he crumpled the paper, and soon there was a small mountain of crumpled papers at his feet. He picked up a block of wood and tried to carve, but his knife would not do what he wanted to do. He hurled the chunk of wood into the fireplace and sat, staring into the flames. When he heard the church bells announcing the midnight Christmas service, he got up. Slowly, he opened the drawer beneath the cupboard, the drawer he had told the widow never to open, and from it, he took the cloth embroidered with lilies of the valleys and daisies. He took out a rough woolen shawl and a lace handkerchief. He took out a tiny white baby blanket and a little pair of blue socks. He placed each piece gently on the floor. From the bottom of the drawer, he lifted out a picture frame, beautifully carved, of deep brown chestnut wood. In the frame was a charcoal sketch of a woman sitting in a rocking chair holding a baby. The baby's arms were reaching up, touching the woman's face. The woman was looking down at the baby, smiling. Jonathan sat down in his rocking chair and held the picture against his chest. He rocked slowly, his eyes closed. Two tears trailed into his beard. When he finally took the picture to his workbench and began to carve, his fingers worked quickly.
quickly and surely, and he carved all through the night. The next day there was a knock at the Widow McDowell's door. And when she opened it, there stood the woodcarver, his neck wrapped in a red scarf, holding a wooden box stuffed with straw. "Mr. Toomey," said the widow, "what a surprise. Merry Christmas."
"The figures are ready,"
he said as he stepped inside. And from the box, Jonathan unpacked two curly, happy sheep, because they were with Jesus. He unpacked a proud cow and an angel, a very important angel, with mighty wings stretching from its shoulders right down to the hem of its gown. He unpacked three wise men wearing their most wonderful robes, edged with fur and falling in rich folds. He unpacked a serious and caring Joseph. He unpacked Mary, wearing a rough woolen shawl, looking down, loving her precious baby son. Jesus was smiling and reaching up to touch his mother's face. That day, Jonathan went to the Christmas service with the Widow McDowell and Thomas. And that day in the churchyard, the village children saw Jonathan throw back his head, showing his eyes as clear blue as an August sky, and laugh. No one ever called him Mr. Gloomy again. And I wonder if they lived happily ever after. What do you think? I think they loved their figures, don't you think? In the picture, we can see them smiling and looking very impressed at the artwork that has been given to them. Mm-hmm. And it is also the end.
If you like the show, please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. It really does help the show to grow. Thank you for listening.